Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Andrew. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we are grateful that you have brought us here, and we know that you have been present with us, and we ask that you would help us to continue to be present with you. We pray if even just for a moment you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead so that we would hear your voice and the things that you would have for us. Open our hearts and our minds to those things. May your spirit be our guide and our filter that we would hear the things you would have, and everything else we might be able to set off to the side. And so we pray this morning that your word, it would be fresh and new to us. And Lord, I pray that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. We've been working through a series over the last couple of weeks on the vision of Gateway Community Church. And we sum it up in three words: living, learning, and loving. And the vision of what we're trying to do and who we're trying to be is to live life together, learning to be like Christ, to be loving like Christ. And the emphasis is all about relationships. So you cannot read through the Gospels, you cannot read through the ministry of Jesus and miss the emphasis on relationships. Jesus was a guy who was always looking to connect with people. He was always looking to be in relationship with people. And the relationships that Jesus was willing to put himself out there to be in with other people at times were really risky for him. Jesus was willing to be in relationship with people that other people weren't willing to be in relationship with. Actually, Jesus was willing to be in relationship with people who other people were actively trying to avoid being in relationship with. And so the emphasis for us when we talk about what does it mean to be Gateway Community Church, and our vision is all about and centers around relationships. The idea of living life together is the relationship that we have together. Of learning to be like Christ is working through our relationship individually as well as communally, our relationship with God. And then this morning we're going to focus on loving like Christ. And that is our relationship with the community. And sometimes community becomes a word that is, we don't really know what it means, and it's a generalization, or it's sort of a catch-all, or which then allows us, anytime we make generalizations, I think it gives us a little bit of a, we have a way to escape, right? When we say, well, our community, and so then sometimes we're kind of, that becomes an easy, comfortable word. But when I think about community, I mean those who aren't yet here in our midst this morning. Maybe those who have been hurt by the church. Maybe those who have no relationship or connection to the church at all. Maybe it's those who are in need in some way. And need is, it's not just the fact that we bring in food and we bring in hygiene products and we do things like that for the Sharing Place, which is around the corner. And they meet needs, physical needs, which Jesus was also all about. But also needs that are needs that kind of, they lie under the surface, and it's emotional needs, it's spiritual needs, it's these needs that sometimes find themselves in things like addiction or broken relationships or whatever that list might look like. So needs is broader than just sometimes the needs that we see that are visible. And so the way in which we are in relationship with our community is by through loving them. Now, if you look at some of the Bible-y stuff, and you can look at some of the translations of different words and things like that, and one of the ways in which the word love is translated is into charity. Immediately, we think of like, oh, isn't that nice that we give stuff, and there's a box back there that we give donations, and you give your offerings, and we use those as a way to try to help and meet needs and give. And we charity sometimes is also another word that in a way we even use as a privileged word, that we would give because we are privileged, therefore charity. And And that's not, that was a part of it, but a deeper sense of the word when you look at scripture is giving of self. So it's not just a like, oh, let me pull out my checkbook and, or I'm going to run to the store and grab a giant thing of toilet paper and throw it in the box. And that's all good. But when you read through scripture and you get this translation of this word love into charity, the emphasis is really a giving of self. So now we begin to wrestle with, okay, so when we love our community and we are loving in a way where we're giving of self, what does that look like? And how do we do that? And that's where I think if you read through the Gospels, you see that Jesus was the way in which, I mean, our goal, right, is to live life together despite the mess. We recognize and we admit and we own that life is messy. And there are a number of you here sitting this morning, and we can attest to that. Life is messy. So despite the mess, we're trying to live life together. That is the picture of the sinner and the saint sitting around the same table. And I put quotes around saint. That we are all sinners and we're all trying to live life together sitting around the same table despite the fact that life is messy. We own it, we recognize it, and in the midst of the mess, we are going to live and walk life together and try to find Jesus in the midst of that. And then the learning is the idea where we're going to come together and we're going to practice spiritual disciplines of study and prayer and worship and service and do those things where we try to figure, okay, Jesus, we're living life together and you tell us to follow you and we got to we cannot learn what it means to follow Jesus if we don't spend time with Jesus. You will not know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus if you do not spend the time to figure out what it means to follow Jesus. And the ways in which we do that, both individually and communally, so the idea of that, there's a part of my relationship with God which I work on as me, as Matt. It's Matt and God time, and we got to figure out, how do we do this? What does it look like? But it's not just that. Because you can also not follow Jesus in isolation. And so it can never just be me sitting in my little place at home going, okay, God, what are we going to, how are we going to do this? Together, just me and you. And God's going to go, great, Matt, one of the first things I'd like you to do is go be in community with other people. Oh, what? So there's a part of the learning part that we do on our own, but that we also do communally. So we come together. That's the whole idea behind the life groups this fall. That we're trying to launch this idea that it's the living life together in these life groups while also learning to be like Jesus together. And so we talk about what does it mean to live and to learn together? What does it look like to pursue holiness together through the disciplines? We're reminded that we have something to learn from each other. So wherever you are on your faith journey, you have something to offer to somebody else, wherever they are on their faith journey. You need to hear that because I think that's where the life groups and communal learning and living life together becomes really important. Some of you would roll in here and go, this may be your first time here. This may be the first time you've ever stepped in a church. And you're like, there is no way I got anything to offer anybody. And I would say you're wrong. You're just wrong. You have a story. You have experience. You have life. You have ways in which you can bring those things into living life together with each other, perhaps even in one of the life groups, and can share what that has been. And someone else needs to hear your story and can learn from your story. Regardless of where you are on your journey of following Jesus. The other part that we talked about with the learning thing is that it's an intentional, continual process of trying to help create disciples. Right? We read at the end of Matthew's gospel when Jesus says, so go and make disciples. That was not just an instruction to me as a pastor. That was to us as a church. That was to us as individuals who are trying to follow Jesus, that we are to go and tell the story and share the story of what it means to follow Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds a lot less scary when we do that together. When we're doing that in community and together, when we can know that there are other others of us who are also trying to invite people into the story of God's grace and his love. So living, learning, this morning, loving. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite, if you would, or if you're taking notes, 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 7 through 21. If you haven't read through the book of 1 John, you should. It's a good book. It's not long. It's got some good stuff in there. And so we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 21. And I would invite you, even perhaps maybe this week, that you spend some time with that on your own, to see what God might show you in your time with him. I'm reading from the NIV. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. Verse 14. I'm going to pause for a second because I want to say, I was thinking about this earlier. Totally nothing to do with this, but that just made me think of it. There is something to be said about the sounds of life in a church. And whether it's during a prayer time and a little person praying for us, or a Sunday school class doing their thing, or some kids coming down some noisy stairs to go do their thing. I hope that you hear, because that's not a distraction to me. I hope and I pray that you're able to work through that and see that not as a distraction, but as a noise to celebrate. You need to know that we had 66 kids in Sunday school last Sunday. I mean, sure, yeah, that's great. That's cool and exciting. It's also bananas. And so, 66 kids, fourth grade and under. That's crazy. And in a good way, but also, like, that's also not sustainable. So be aware that a second service is on the horizon, because we have to do something, because we have said that children are our priority. And so my hope is to see that number double at some point. I have no idea how we do that in a space like this. We will have kids coming out of our ears in all of these. We'll put kids in my office to have a Sunday school class. We just don't have. So just know that. That's a thing to celebrate and to be praying about, because we got to figure out something. And we need you. We are at the point of desperately needing individuals to volunteer and say, I got this. Because when you've got 66 kids, fourth grade and under, I think last week, I don't quote me on this, but I think we had probably close to 30 kids just up in that room upstairs with one teacher. Oh, right? Freaking out. You're all like, I'm out. Like, I don't tell you that to, you know, now you're like, and I was going to volunteer and now I'm not. So, so that's why we need more of you. Cause then we can be like, good. There's a whole team of volunteers that are going to go deal with, I mean, love on, you know. I think I was at verse 13. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit in verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his son to be the savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus, living life together, learning to be like Christ, to be loving like Christ. In this world, John tells us, in this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And so when we talk about and spend some time thinking about what does it look like to be loving at Gateway, what does it look like for us as part of our vision of living, learning, and loving? What does it look like and what does it mean? Well, I think it means a couple of things. When we think about and we're reminded of relationship with community, loving for us means our relationship with our community. What are we doing with and in and for our community? Well, one of the ways I think what it means to be loving like Christ, it's the fruit of a life transformed by Christ and growth as a disciple. Your relationship with Christ will compel you to love the other, even if or when you might otherwise not want to. John tells us that you cannot not love your brother or sister and say you love God. He just flat out calls us a liar. You are a liar if you do not love your brother or sister and say you love God. You're a liar. You cannot love God and not love the other. And so when we think about what does it mean for us to be loving like Christ, it's the growth of our relationship with God. It is trying to follow Jesus as we grow as a disciple. It compels us to love. It is the testament of your life being transformed by Jesus. The way in which you are able to love the other is the witness of your relationship with Christ. We love because he first loved us, not because we did anything, but because he took the initiative to love us. And so any expression of our love as we think about loving the other is the direct result of God first loving us. And it is that love that transforms us, that compels us to love the other. We talk a lot about grace and holiness, and it's important to be reminded of those two and that they're always connected and related to each other. And the idea of loving our community is that pursuit of trying to be like Jesus, of trying to be holy. It's being filled up with the love of God in us, that through us then we are empowered and enabled to love in ways that are beyond ourselves. So again, that's also one of the ways in which we think about what does it mean to be loving like Christ is recognizing that loving through our own efforts is not enough. That you on your own as an individual simply do not have enough love that you can muster up inside of you on your own to love as Christ calls us to love. That it becomes a supernatural act of God's love in you and for you that then enables you to love even beyond your own capacity. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that Christian love equals good works, good actions, good deeds. When in fact, when we think about the love that can be inside of us because of our relationship with Christ, it becomes more of a disposition. It's a love that's there that precedes or is even underneath any of the things we do that are nice or good. Because we've all done good and nice things with motives that are otherwise than love. But when we think about what it means to love like Christ and love our community, it's a love that precedes our good deeds. It's interesting to think about the idea that the church can be full of really good people and still die. We can do a lot of really nice things and still not really make a difference. And so when we think about the love of Christ that he had first for us, that then compels us to do and to love, that's where transformation happens. Yes, we're going to take some stuff and people are going to get some food and some items that they have that they need. But without the love of Christ as a part of what we're doing or compelling us or underneath the things that we do, then real transformation isn't going to happen inside of us and outside in our community. Loving like Christ is the practice of incarnational living. And that's the idea of incarnational living is the idea of being present with people. Really, that's kind of the gist of it. We talk about and we're reminded of the way in which God sent his son, God incarnate, God taking on flesh and living amongst us. Incarnational living, when we think about it as what does it mean to love our community, is to be in our community, is to be present, is to live life with people. John Wesley called the grand stumbling block to the spread of Christianity. Can you guess what he said it was? Yeah. The grand stumbling block to the spread of Christianity, Wesley said, was the lives of Christians. Ouch. So when we talk about what does it mean to love our community and to be incarnational in our community, it means that we're trying to do this in a way that is genuine and sincere. It means that even despite the messiness of our own lives and the messiness of our own faith and the way in which we're wrestling with our relationship with Jesus, that we're still trying to live it with people. It's being present, it's being genuine, it's being accessible, it's being available, it's being humble, it's being observant, it's being opportunistic. And opportunistic, not in some weird, like, take advantage way, but in a way where you might see an opportunity that God is giving you to love someone. Incarnational living is being there and putting yourself where people are. If you and I only have a group of friends or relationships, let's make it broader than friends. If you and I are only in relationships with other people who would call themselves Christians, then we're doing it wrong. Right? We look at Jesus and he hung out with the sinners and the prostitutes. If we're just running around with a bunch of churchy people, then we need to rethink what it means to follow Jesus. There's got to be more. If we're going to love our community and we got to put ourselves where people are. We got to put ourselves where people who are looking, who are unchurched, who are hurting, who are broken, which is all around us, and it's in this room as well. But even those outside of these walls who need to be invited into and hear the story of God's grace and his love. I think a great example of what it looks like and what it means to love our community. We have We've had the opportunity to host 16 students, middle school students from Evangelical Community Church, and four of their leaders. You guys stand up, all you students over here, and your leaders back there. Stand. So this is a group of students and their leaders who have taken time to try to, I mean, they're living this loving thing. They came up here from Bloomington to walk the streets of some of our communities in the city and to be incarnationally live. Now, you guys, thank you for the way in which you serve and love. I'll let you sit down. Otherwise, I could have kept going and be awkward if you just keep standing there. I mean, here's a group of students and leaders who are trying to incarnationally love people, walking the streets of some of our communities in our city, just everything from picking up trash to, and then guess what happens as I'm hearing their stories? They're just serving, right? They're just giving of themselves incarnationally in this community, and a community that not many of us have maybe even ever been to, or even the people who live there don't even really hang out as much in their own community. And guess what happened? People started coming out of their homes and started to go, what are you doing? And conversations and relationships start forming, and all of a sudden, incarnational is living, and this group of middle school students is the example to us of what that looks like and what it means. So when we talk about loving our community, it's living, it's being present. There are, without question, people who live right around you who are hurting and broken and have needs. And they may have been even trying to show you that, and we just kind of, we do our thing, right? We go about our business, we go about our day, we go about our week, we're doing our thing, and if we might even just for a moment be willing to be present, to be observant, to be accessible, to be available, I think it would be interesting to see what God might do with us and through us. Last way, I think what it looks like to be loving like Christ is the way in which we invite our community into the story of God's redeeming love. Did you know that roughly 18% of the U.S. population is in church on Sunday mornings? That means that there's roughly over 80% of the U.S. population not in church on Sunday. That includes our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. Roughly 80% of individuals in our country are not in church on Sunday. Loving like Christ, I think, is looking for ways in which we can invite people into the story of God's redeeming love. Now, I think it's important, the way in which we do this and you do this and I do this matters. In the real estate world, they talk about location, location, location. I think in our church world, we need to be talking about context, context, context. What does it look, what is the good news of God's story of redeeming love and his grace and his forgiveness and his mercy, and the way in which he then pushes us for something more? What does the good news of that look like to those who are unchurched? Context. What does the good news look like to someone who is trapped in addiction? What does the good news look like? What does the good news look like for somebody who has just lost a loved one or a job or a relationship or hope? Context matters. And I would venture that one of the only ways in which you and I are going to understand and begin to know the context of individuals around us is if we are trying to live incarnationally, if we're trying to be present and accessible and available. And so we hear their story and we begin to listen to their context. I believe that the easy answer to all of those scenarios is Jesus. But there's got to be a way in which we help people. That doesn't work. You can't just have someone come up to you and go, man, I am hurting, I'm broken, I had this happened, I'm trapped in addiction, the church hurt me. What is the good news for somebody who's been hurt by the church? And if we just go, Jesus, they're going to say stuff I can't say right now here. Right? So do I believe that Jesus is the answer? I do. But in the context, how do I help them see that his message and his life of redeeming love and grace can make a difference for them in their context? I think the best way in which you and I can share the good news of God's love and his grace is by sharing your own story. God has done or is doing or is bringing you along on this really incredible story where your story of your life and God's story of his love and grace and forgiveness intersect, and sometimes then they begin to intertwine. And isn't it a great thing when you sometimes can't even distinguish between the two stories? And using that as your way of inviting other people into that story. The best tool that you have to share the story is your own story. So you can't use the excuse of, well, I'm not really good at talking to people. Evangelism is a word that I'm not comfortable with, and I don't really want to like ask somebody to say a prayer or fill out a card. Or I would say, right, don't do that. That's creepy and awkward. Instead, live life with people. Be present, be available, be accessible, be genuine, and share your story. Share your story of the ways in which God has shown up in your life, and maybe even some of the other times when you feel like you couldn't find him. And yet you're still wrestling with the faith and trust that he's still there. That is a story that is compelling. That is a story that people can connect with. And then go, huh, you don't seem crazy. And maybe God and the church isn't really as bad as I thought. Loving like Christ is figuring out ways in which we invite our community into the story of God's redeeming love.